Let's pray to get started. Heavenly Father, it's a wonderful day to worship you. We thank you for the beautiful weather and the sunshine and every good gift we've been given, especially the gift of Jesus and what he did on the cross for us. I pray that this morning you stir our hearts with the passion to worship you and know you and get to know you better. I pray that you would bring glory to yourself, Lord, in the hearing and in the acting out on your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, question for you. How many of you think that kids need rules? Do you think kids need rules? All right. Only half of you agree. The other half of you have never had kids. Anyway, I assume most of us would agree that kids need some rules, and here's the reason why. Just could not resist. That is so cute. That's not Alora, by the way. That's not our bathroom. Well, I came across this article by this mom who's got this website, and she gave a few rules reasons why kids need rules. Here was the first rule, or here was her first comment: rules give much needed boundaries to my kids. Kids may balk at them at first, but studies have shown over and over again that kids crave rules. They want rules. They may not know it, but they do. Because kids need to know that there's an adult or several adults in their life who care about them enough to make and enforce rules. Her second comment: my kids thrive when the rules are enforced consistently. They thrive when they know what to expect because they are more likely and able to meet the expectations. When they know what behaviors I expect from them, they feel more in control of their day and their lives. They feel successful, no matter how small the success might be. Third, rules keep my kids safe. It's my number one job as a mom to keep my kids safe and to help them make choices that will keep them safe when they're older and more independent. And the fourth one was, rules keep my kids from being mean. I don't know if that's true or not, but anyway, this is my second most important job as a mom. I want to raise kind, caring, thoughtful kids. Boundaries and rules teach social skills and place importance on the things that we value as a family. And this was her comment that she made. The goal of all these rules for her was that rules make my kids people I want to spend time with. Did you guys miss that? Rules make my kids people that I want to spend time with. Now, last week we learned about love, that love is a decision, and that love can be commanded. We talked about that a little bit. Jesus himself, he laid down his life for us because he loved us, and then we in turn lay down our lives. How do we do that? We don't kill ourselves or let ourselves be killed. We lay down our lives by sacrificing our preferences, our wants. Well, this is what I want, and I'm going to get my way. But when we lay our preferences down, we're demonstrating that love is a decision. Now, this week, we're going to look at another aspect of love. Love protects. The problem with our cultural view of love is that it demands to have its own way. If you love me, you will do this for me or with me. If you love me, you'll buy me this or you'll buy me that. If you love me, you will permit me to do what makes me happy. So love today is defined by unrestrained freedom to do whatever pleases me, often at the expense of others. Well, this is not biblical love. Paul wrote to Galatians and said that we are not to abuse our freedom by satisfying our sinful desires, but to use our freedom to serve others in love. This is what he said: for you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. That's me, myself, and I, my wants and my desires, putting them before others. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. And in Romans, Paul makes a powerful case of the gospel. In the first five chapters, he says that Christ has died on the cross for our sins. He's paid the price for our sins, and we could be made right with God by placing our faith in him. And that all of our guilt, all of our shame, our standing before God could be made right if only we'd put our faith in Jesus instead of following all these rules and laws that the Pharisees and the other the Jews had practiced. And if we do all this, if we place our faith in Jesus, we will be freed from the penalty of our sins. Well, this was just too much for the Jews to take. And so he anticipated this opposition to the gospel, this good news, and he said, in effect, just because you've been set free from the penalty does not mean you have the right to abuse God's grace and his love. In Romans 6, this is how he counters the argument that he knows he's going to get. Verse 1, he says, well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? In other words, should we abuse God's love? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? We have been set free from the penalty and the power of sin, not to indulge our sinful nature, but to live a holy, self-sacrificing, serving, and loving life. So you see, God's love, biblical love, is not permissive, it is protective. From the very beginning of creation, God has demonstrated his protective love for his people by giving them rules, giving us rules. You guys recall the first rule? No. Genesis 2, what's the first rule? Come on, I can't mind, but you got to get that. Jeez, Louise. Don't eat that fruit, right? Oh, who said oh? Come on. You guys need to eat your Wheaties before you come to church. So you're ready to go. All right. Don't eat fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, why in the world did God give him that command? God was trying to protect Adam and Eve from a knowledge they were not ready for. Now, hundreds of years later, God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, and he gave hundreds of dietary and civil laws and ceremonial laws as well. And if you look at the book of Leviticus, you can check a lot of those out. But the Ten Commandments, which we refer to as the moral laws, the Ten Commandments are about protecting your relationship with God and your relationship with other people. This is what Paul wrote about the law and its purpose to the Galatians. This is what he said. Chapter 3, verse 23, he said, before the way of faith in Christ was available to us, we were placed under guard by the law. We were kept in protective custody, so to speak, until the way of faith was revealed. Let me put it another way. The law was our guardian until Christ came. It protected us until we could be made right with God through faith. And now that the way of faith has come, we no longer need the law as our guardian. So God's love and his commands are protective. They were there to protect us, to be our guardian, to shepherd us. As Paul said, we no longer need the law as our guardian because of faith in Christ. But that does not mean that the law, the Ten Commandments, have been abolished. Many of you have probably heard this. Why bother reading the Old Testament? Who cares about the Ten Commandments? The fact of the matter is the Ten Commandments are still in force. They are moral laws and they are eternal. They're not going away. But the purpose of the laws have been fulfilled because Jesus, as Jesus said, I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. So the moral laws remain in effect, that is the Ten Commandments, remain in effect, but they've been embodied in two commands in particular. Paul writes about one in Romans chapter 13, and he demonstrates that loving our neighbors embodies six of these commandments. This is what he says in Romans 13, starting in verse 8. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. For the commandments say, you must not commit adultery. You must not murder. You must not steal. You must not covet. These and other such commands are summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to others, so love fulfills the requirements of God's law. Love fulfills the requirements. Obeying the rules demonstrates our love for God and our love for others, just as disobedience demonstrates our lack of love for God. So you see, God's love, or biblical love, is not permissive. It is protective. And this is why God gave us commands to follow, to protect our relationship with Him and to protect our relationship with others. And when we obey His commands not to steal, not to covet, not to lie or commit adultery, we are demonstrating our love for God and for our neighbor as well. In Matthew chapter 22, Jesus was approached by the Pharisees and they asked Him this question, "Teacher, which of the commandments is most important?" Now, the Pharisee who asked this question had no interest whatsoever in the actual answer or in Jesus' opinion or exegesis on this question. They were trying to trip Him up so that they could accuse Him of heresy and condemn Him. But Jesus summed up the law and all the commandments of the prophets just as Paul did in his letter. This is what Jesus said. He said, "You must love the Lord your God with all of your heart and your soul and all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself." The entire law and the demands of the prophets are based upon these two commandments. So all of the law, being the Ten Commandments and everything that was stated by the prophets in the Old Testament, is summed up by these commands. Love God and love man. This means that obeying God's commands without love is worthless. Do you get that? Just obeying the commands out of obligation because I said so, or because your mom or dad said so, without the right heart or right spirit in it, is worthless. This is exactly what happened to the Pharisees, because Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said that you honor God with your lips, but your heart is nowhere near him. This is what happens. The problem for the Pharisees, like many of us today, is that we've lost the true meaning of our relationship with God. Our relationship with God is all about love. God wants your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. And we demonstrate that by obeying Him. Now, it's very easy to neglect our relationship with God and lose sight of what is most important, loving Him and loving others. And what the Pharisees' story in the New Testament demonstrates is that obedience does not lead to love. They became legalistic, and they obeyed, or they tried to obey, the Old Testament commands out of obligation rather than out of love. So on the flip side of that, love does lead to obedience. Where love is present, a person will automatically set out to order his life in harmony with God's will as expressed in the commandments. So your love for God is going to result in obedience. Your love for God is going to result in reordering your life so that it comes in line with what the Bible says. And your lack of love is going to lead you where? Isolation, depression, separation, disobedience. By saying, "Love the Lord with all thy heart, soul, and mind," Christ is revealing that the love of God, if truly present in us, will permeate every aspect of your life. As you reflect on this morning, that God's love, biblical love, is not permissive, but it's protective. As you reflect on that, I hope that you will understand that God's rules are an expression of his perfect love for you. God is not a party pooper. God is not trying to ruin your fun. He's not trying to ruin your life or spoil anything. God is trying to protect you and make you like his son Jesus, because he loves you. God is not interested in you becoming this perfect, spotless little Christian that he can take from the world and put on a shelf over here and admire once in a while. His love for you because he loves you, he wants to protect you, and he wants you to live and be and have your being like Jesus. Just as Isaiah said before, that your love for God and what's going on in the inside of you will produce something real, eternal, and lasting through faith, hope, and love. Self-control, gentleness, patience, kindness. He's trying to protect you and make you like his son. Now, if you recall this, by the way, the elders, you guys could come forward. Just a minute. The elders are gonna come forward. And as we close the service, you're going to have an opportunity to come and sit with them and say, I am lacking something. I want to surrender my life to Christ, maybe for the first time. Or, I'm so distant from God, will you please pray for me that I will love him more than I love this person here? Or will you pray that I will love this Jesus, I love God more than I'll love, you know, this object. Or whatever it is, it's got your affection and attention. Listen, if you recall from the article I read earlier about why kids need rules, rules give much needed boundaries. We need to know that God loves us and that others love us as well. And this is where boundaries come into play. Rules allow me to thrive, to be successful when they are enforced consistently. You know, it may make you uncomfortable and even unhappy, but when God tries to correct you and he upsets your life or something doesn't go the way you'd planned or hoped, God is at work trying to unsettle you and make you uncomfortable. He's not going to give you peace of mind, peace and heart whenever you are making bad decisions. You know why? Because he's trying to correct you. He's trying to train you so that you can bring glory and honor to him. And the thing that is when you realize what the rules are and you choose to follow them out of love, it makes you feel successful. I have successfully completed that. Rules keep me safe. This was another one of hers. I feel secure and assured of my salvation when I'm following the rules. And when I'm disobedient and distant from God, I feel anxious. I feel afraid, ashamed, or distant. So rules keep me safe. Rules keep me from being mean to other people. Love your neighbor as yourself. Honor one another. Help one another. Bear each other's burdens. Pray for one another. Consider other people better than yourselves. We have a lot of commands regarding one another. Those are just to name a few. It is hard to be mean to another person that you are actively trying to love as God does. Now, the mom who wrote this article said she had the most important goal of her rules was what? You remember? To make my kids people I want to spend time with, right? I want to suggest that's why God has rules too. That he wants to make you into someone that he would like to spend time with. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us so much that you gave Jesus, your only son, to die on the cross in our place and pay the price for my sin and all of our sins. We know that putting our faith in him is our only hope is you. And we know, Lord, that you expressed your great love to us, not by letting us live wildly and do whatever we want, but by giving us rules and commands to follow. Please help me and everyone here understand that your rules are meant, They're an expression of your love. They're not to restrain us or frustrate us or ruin our fun, but Lord, they are there to protect us and help us become the people you want us to be. So please press this truth into our heart that you love us so much. Not only did you give us your Son, but you gave us your word to give us direction and guidance and the rules that we need that we might be transformed into the people that you want us to be. Lord, for all of us here, I want us to say, Lord, make me, mold me, and shape me into the man or woman that you've called me to be by your grace. And I know it is sufficient for me. In Jesus' name, amen.